Merry voices raised in singing, carols through the streets are ringing, all because it's Christmas once again. Lovers kiss each other shyly, mistletoe was hung there slyly, all because it's Christmas once again.
Yes, it is Christmas once again, everybody. It is also once again the Brian and Vinny Show. November 27, 2012, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Vinny is here.
Sure
talking,
am.
Yeah. SmackDown and Raw. And this week, the second half of Finding Bigfoot that Vinny saw. Showed up late to the party. Or early. Not sure how he termed that, actually. And NXT. Yes, we watched NXT this week. Much to my dismay, to be honest.
I don't expect this to be a regular feature. No. We are far more likely to watch Finding Bigfoot next week.
Problem is, you can, but if you've ever tried to fast forward on Hulu, it's a nightmare. And there are a ton of commercials on this show. And the show lasts forever as a result. I just don't have time for commercials. It's 2012. I want to go back to the 50s when this fella here, Tommy Edwards, performed It's Christmas Once Again. And we just had product placement throughout the show. That's what I need in my life. Just have Miz come out and he's wearing a Budweiser hat, or John Morrison comes down to the ring in a sled for some sort of company. I don't know.
A sled?
I was just thinking, you know. Just trying to think of some sort of product placement. Yeah, it's product placement. Could be better product placement if Alberto Del Rio, say the gimmick was he lost a lot of money, so now he comes out in a Chevy.
Okay.
There's your product placement every week. That's what we need to bring back, is product placement, so I don't have to sit through these commercials. I hate sitting through commercials. It is a waste of my time. It is a waste of precious moments of my life. I don't know if people realize this, but you only live once. I'm sure some people would disagree. But the fact of the matter is, if that's not the case, chances are you're not going to know it. So really, you only live once. So why waste your time watching a bunch of stupid commercials? That's what that little button on the clicker that jumps forward 30 seconds, and you go bam, 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 and you're back to Raw. Magic little device. Commercials are an absolute, complete waste of time. Someday, everyone here is going to be moments from death, and you're going to think back to all the time wasted watching stupid commercials during your wrestling, and you're going to be very bitter. You're going to be bitter at the very end. That's time you could have spent outside hanging Christmas lights, making snow angels, all the great Christmas festivities, getting upset at your in-laws, you know.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Actually, in-laws came out, but that's not what I meant. I actually get along with all my...
Even better.
I get along with all my in-laws. It's actually my...
So far.
Grandmother, for example, that I have battles with. On this show, in fact. Does Tony count as an in-law?
Yes.
Oh, see? That it does work.
Your sister's husband, yes.
Okay, yeah. All right, let's get going here.
Well, we watched SmackDown, at least I did.
I watched it. Much to my dismay as well. Mostly due to the opening Miz segment.
The opening Miz segment was
one of the worst pieces of television ever.
Horrendous.
Absolutely ever.
It's funny. This happened on SmackDown and Raw. They did a segment, and they both shows had a segment devoted to the AJ Vicky
Oops.
Cena thing.
That was me. Sorry.
And both times it started, and I thought, well, I'm just over this. I don't care anymore. And then by the end of the segment, they had gone from apathy to hate. I hate the storyline.
It's not the storyline.
Awful.
The storyline sucks. By the way, I turned my chair into my mic for those of you wondering what that sound was.
No one heard anything.
Oh, they'll hear that. Well, you are ranting loud enough, they might not. This Miz storyline, not the storyline, Miz on Miz TV, in the middle of this storyline, all of this put together was a perfect storm of hell. You know?
Can't defend it.
Every time It's like a never-ending circle of doom with Miz. I start getting upset when I see Miz on my television, and I rant about it. And then some guys on the board decide they're going to defend the Miz, which gets my dander up even more. So then I rant more about the Miz, and so they get even more up in arms. And it's just a never-ending cycle of pain.
Every time they do something new, it still sucks.
Are standards so low that Miz can be defended? The best post was from somebody that said, I realize it's hard for some of you to believe that some of us just think that Miz is a horrible professional wrestler. And apparently that is hard for some people to wrap their heads around, that I feel Miz is a quite horrible professional wrestler. His strongest point is his promo ability. As a worker, he is very average. His look is very average. What else is there besides the speaking?
Athleticism.
His athleticism is very average.
No, below average.
Below average. So the one thing he's got is his speaking ability, which, honest to God, is it really that good, to steal a term from The Miz? Is it really that good? Really?
No.
Are his promos really that good?
No, so that everyone else sucks now.
Yes. Your standards have fallen. Every time I hear a comparison to Ric Flair with The Miz, I want to shoot holes in my...
This is why I don't talk to people.
In my monitor screen. He's fine on promos. Except on this show, in which he was the most hateable babyface literally in the history of the world.
Was he a babyface here?
Yes!
That's impossible.
No! I said a Daniel Bryan impersonation without even meaning to. But yes.
He's a better promo.
He was supposed to be a babyface on this show. Yeah, now that totally turns your world upside down, huh?
No, I still don't.
You watched that entire segment thinking he was a heel.
I did. Nope. That is
true. You were
true.
Supposed to like him during that segment.
I didn't do that, Brian.
You were supposed to like him.
I didn't like him one bit.
Oh, my God.
So, the gist of this, I'm not going into detail because it did suck. But Cena said that he was tired of everyone talking about his relationship with AJ, so he kissed her to shut them up.
Yeah.
This shows a complete disconnect with the way human beings operate. Miz was annoying. He asked if they were in love, and he pronounced the word love the way Brother Love used to pronounce his own name. It led to nothing. That's the worst thing.
Nothing.
This segment ended, and everyone was exactly where they were when it started. It was 20 minutes of garbage. Ryback squashed Darren Young. The highlight, again, was Titus O'Neil on commentary.
I was sad during this match because I knew Titus was next.
Yeah. Somebody needs to get that boy some medication, he said. And then after Ryback squashed him, Titus was upset. He grabbed a mic and said, Ryback, that boy's worth millions of dollars. What's wrong with you? So he got beat up too. Truth wrestled Antonio Cesaro. Again. It's a law. They have to wrestle on every show. Truth pinned him quickly in his non-title match. Sheamus arrived at the building 34 minutes late. Booker yelled at him for attacking Big Show with a chair at the pay-per-view. He was so angry that he was going to give Sheamus the night off and give him a title shot at the pay-per-view.
And make Big Show work.
And make Big Show work a handicap match.
Corrupt.
This was some shitty, shitty GMing here.
Corrupt. Where's the board of directors for this?
Don't know. Sin Cara versus Alberto Del Rio. I was doing something, so I did not fast forward through Alberto's entrance, which means I heard Ricardo introduce him. It's mostly in Spanish, except he actually said two phrases in English. One, Apex Predator, and two, even funnier, The Real Deal. So, Sin Cara's singles match, which means they had the blue and yellow lights on. This is so fucking stupid. Knock this shit off. Had a lot of time. It was very fun. Sin Cara was going through his comeback. He went to the top rope, but Del Rio cut him off with a super arm drag and hit him with the arm bar for the win. Giant thumbs up, except for the lights.
Enjoyable match.
Daniel Bryan and Kane had a funny meeting. They were cranky and arguing, and then Bryan asked, is this because I didn't invite you over for Thanksgiving? And Kane admitted, basically, that yes. So Bryan said, you would not have liked it. We had vegan turkey. And he promised that if they won tonight, he would invite Kane over for Christmas, and Kane could beat up Santa Claus. Big Show versus Team Hell No, with Sheamus, Regal, and some buddies watching from the luxury box. So the story here is that Brian worked the entire match and refused to tag Kane in until finally he just did. And then Kane ran wild for a bit, and Brian blindsided himself back in, and Kane walked out, and then Brian got pinned, and then Kane came back. And
you ready to move on yet from this Kane and Daniel Bryan pairing?
What's that?
To me, it's run its course at this point. I would like to see Daniel Bryan having great matches and being a force to be reckoned with again.
He was pretty great on Raw in a singles match. Mm-hmm. So perhaps I was thinking they could stretch it out to Mania, but maybe not. I would be comfortable with them fighting other tag teams. Which seems to have not happened in a while.
Be a good start.
That would be a good start. The other highlight of this was every time basically anything happened with Big Show, they would cut to Sheamus for his facial expressions. And I thought that no matter what happened or what emotion Sheamus was trying to get across, I just thought he looked stoned. He looked stoned and happy. He looked stoned and sad. He looked confused and stoned. This did not work.
Does everybody have to have a scraggly beard nowadays?
We'll get to NXT. Sheamus' beard is not scraggly.
I was mostly talking about Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan does have a scraggly beard.
Cash Sono.
We'll get to NXT. Everyone in Florida, apparently.
Everyone in Florida has a scraggly beard.
There are
for
no
the most part.
Norelco or Remington products in the state of Florida available.
Well, Richie Steamboat.
No grooming can be done. Well, speaking of scraggly beards, here's Damian Sandow. It's Kofi Kingston. Wade Barrett was on commentary. They had a tout from Cody Rhodes, whose shoulder had a... I can't even say taped up. He had a structure on his shoulder, like they were building a bridge. And he threw darts at a picture of Kane to indicate they were still a tag team and still going to be feuding with them. So they had a match. It was fun. Kofi won with his kick. And Wade cut a promo standing on the announce desk about how Kofi would be his next victim. And Wade, quite frankly, looks really good in jeans and a t-shirt. And apparently they thought so too, because he was wearing it again on Raw. So... Considering his gimmick as a street fighter, he should wear this all the time. We got like 20 minutes that was nothing but recaps, commercials, and entrances, which is great when you do have a fast-forward button. And the main event was Dolph and Randy. Seen it 1,000 times before. It was fun. Dolph has a new move. And he did it here, and he did it on Raw as well, where he does a jumping DDT. And I don't mean lots of guys have done it where you grab the guy's head and then you jump up and fall down. Dolph does it where... his opponent is standing straight up, and Dolph jumps up, grabs his head, lands in a DDT. It's frankly a much better finisher than the one he's actually using, and for him it's just a move. So, eventually Orton went for the RKO, and Dolph avoided it, rolled him up, and pinned him with the tights. JBL had a conniption fit about how Dolph had the greatest week in company history, which is a lie. And Ricardo hit the ring, ate an RKO... and Orton and Alberto had a stare down, and then Cena dumped Joel from the stage and put him in the SDF, and that was the show. So, again, nothing you need to see. If you missed the show, that's fine. If you did happen to watch it, there was a lot of good wrestling on this one.
I enjoyed the shows. It was better than your usual SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah.
Not much more to say about it than that.
Can I play a song, or should I jump right into Raw?
I don't know if I have any songs available. I think somebody sent me something. Let me check here. I was actually unprepared, believe it or not.
I'm rubbing off on you.
I know, that's hard to believe. Let's see what we've got. Yeah, we got a song, all right. Let's see if do I trust it?
Let's take a gamble.
A Tiffany song. Let's try it.
And I said, what about wrestling with Tiffany. She said,
I remember
boobs.
Literally almost the only thing worth watching on this fucking show for a full year. I need to see her wrestling regularly now.
So I want Tiffany on every show. She looked like
boobs.
Robert Patrick from Terminator 2.
You could have taken a box and rolled a metal box down the ramp, and it would have moved with more fluidity than Tiffany.
Boobs.
I like that. That's a good song.
There you go. All right.
Raw. opened with a match. Your prediction came true. Ryback squashed Titus O'Neil.
Sad.
He
didn't really squash him. Titus O'Neil actually got some offense in because they like him.
If you say so. He got pinned in 3 minutes. Maybe less. Ryback cut a promo. He said he was going to stay in the ring until he got either Punk or the three outsiders to come face him. Went to commercial, came back. Show enough, Ryback was still in the ring. They sent out five dudes in security shirts to negotiate with him. They politely asked him to leave like a gentleman, and he responded by grabbing one and throwing him over the top rope. What an asshole. So Vicky came out. Upshot of all this is that Ryback demanded and was granted a TLC match with CM Punk at the pay-per-view. And he got his way, and so he was happy.
He won't be happy at the pay-per-view.
I'm not sure anyone will, frankly. They showed Rosa confronting Hornswoggle for embarrassing her last week. Hornswoggle told Rosa Mendez that nobody would want to kiss her or give her flowers.
Yeah.
What a dick! Alberto arrived, said no woman would ever take Hornswoggle seriously. He vowed to get revenge. But as he was about to hit the little guy, Kali appeared and pulled him back and said, "Leave my friend alone."
That was awesome.
And everyone went their separate ways.
English that difficult after all these years?
He has been in this country for more than a decade.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, can you imagine if Kali just spoke perfect English? It's like the one thing he has going for him is a funny accent. For example, when he wrestled, as he did here against Alberto, he's goddamn horrible.
Yeah, he was really bad.
He literally can't move anymore. To the point where, when he throws chops or clotheslines, he can't even step into them. So if the guy is not running at him, he has to lean forward, and someday, he's just going to throw a chop and fall down and just stay there.
Sadly, that's probably true.
Yeah. So, eventually, Ricardo, there was garbage with Ricardo and Hornswoggle, and Alberto tapped him out with the armbar, and that made Rosa happy backstage. Punk and Heyman were pissed that Vicky had booked Punk in a TLC match. They said that she was not thinking clearly, and she was so biased against CM Punk that she was being equally biased. She was so biased against John Cena that she was also being biased against Punk to cover up her other bias. They denied being involved with the NXT geeks, and Punk started to get pissed, and Heyman dragged him away. Speaking of, Michael Cole had an interview with the NXT guys. They are they have always worn black. Now they're wearing like vests and gloves, like they're going to go into combat with weaponry. So it's Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns said virtually nothing. Ambrose and Rollins split the talking about 50%, actually. And basically, they said they denied working for Punk. They said they were there because wrestling has become a popularity contest. And they wanted to shield people from injustice. And so they were the shield. And they said that CM Punk was forced to defend his title in a three-way against two men he'd already beaten. And this is not fair, and so they were defending him. That was their story, and they stuck to it.
I like this.
It was fine. I was surprised that, like, I figured that Dean Ambrose was there to do all the talking, and he talked about as much as Seth did, and frankly, about as well. So it was fine. Fandango promo. He's apparently still going to show up. Tamina squashed Alicia. Cena came out for a promo.
Do you remember DJ Gabriel?
Yes.
I have virtually no memory of him whatsoever. I remember him dancing with
that's all I did.
Alicia Fox.
There's nothing else to remember.
For about 3 weeks. Never seen again.
I remember him dancing with Alicia Fox. I'm trying to remember exactly what happened, but like they were going to do a promo, and someone big and scary came in and wanted to do a promo instead, and he advised them to leave, and so they danced off stage. That was great. And I remember seeing him for years in OVW as whatever his real name was. Nick Lewington?
Yeah.
Is that him? Yeah.
Steve
Lewington. Why do you ask?
That was just brought up on the show last night when talking about Fandango.
Mm.
Neither Dave nor I guess he had more of a memory than I did, but it was short memory.
There's not much else to say.
No.
He was on ECW less than a half dozen times, I think. So Tamina squashed her in one of these Superfly Splash. We had the Cena Vicky bullshit thing with AJ, and there was a bathrobe, and this is horrible.
You really don't like this.
I don't. I don't like. I don't even like talking about it.
But you must.
All right, I'm going to read my notes verbatim because that way I can do this without actually, like, if I have to try to do it from memory, then I have to think about what happened and what impression actually left on me.
What is it about it that drives you so crazy?
I don't understand anyone's motivations in this at all. There are four people involved: John Cena, AJ, Vicky Guerrero, and Dolph Ziggler, and not one of them do I understand what the hell they're doing or what their motivations are or what they're hoping to get out of it. I guess now I understand John Cena and AJ are hoping to fuck. I get that. That makes sense to me. The rest of this, I don't know. Cena came out for a promo, my notes read. Vicky interrupted and had a gift. It was a bathrobe. She started talking about AJ's crazy history with Brian Punk and Kane. AJ came out. They rambled on about her mistakes with men for a while. She said she was not GM now, so she could date whoever she wanted. She started caressing Cena's face and smacking his ass. She was about to kiss him until Vicky interrupted. So now Vicky can't stand to see them together. Dolph came out. End of the segment. End the storyline. It sucks and buries everyone. Vicky eventually booked Dolph versus Cena tonight. This is just the worst.
That about covers it.
You know, between Claire Lynch, Cena, AJ, and the Aces and Eights, this has been one of the worst years for storylines in wrestling that I can recall. I'm sure someone will point out some prior year when a million things sucked.
Like every year?
By the end of the show. I'm sure that... I know, like, the Black Scorpion was awful. I understand. But there are so much horrible things in wrestling, and there's only two companies left.
It's because standards have fallen, Vinny. It's because standards have fallen. It's like when we went back and we watched Warrior and Hogan and Halloween Havoc, which at the time was a minus 5-star match.
Yeah.
Today, it's about minus 1-star. Maybe even a dud. Because they'll put anyone on TV now.
Yeah.
They put on geeks from Survivor. They put on every untrained dork that they plot a developmental too early. One geek after another. And everybody's standards have fallen to depths that people think Miz is the next Ric Flair. Okay, no one ever really said that. But still.
You know, it was either last Monday. I think it was a week before. And I'm sitting there watching the football and working on my football writing. And I'm on Twitter, and Joey Styles puts up the link on Twitter that they put the main event from the very first Survivor Series online. And I needed a break from writing, and not much was going on in the game, and I could watch the game and the match at the same time, so I blowed up on the computer. Hulk Hogan, Bam Bam Bigelow, Paul Orndorff, Don Morocco, and Ken Patera against King Kong Bundy, Andre the Giant, One Man Gang, Rick Rude, and Butch Reed. That match was so good. That match was better than... That would have been the best match on at least half the pay-per-views in WWE this year.
Yeah.
That match was awesome. And at the time, people were like, that was fun. It was nothing special. They moved on with their lives. Watching that was just a revelation.
Yeah.
I swear to God, people, this business used to be fun and good and stuff. And I'm saying that, by the way, I liked this episode of Raw and SmackDown on the whole. Not everything in it, but on the whole. Kofi Kingston wrestled Tensai. Wade was on commentary again in jeans and a t-shirt. He pointed out that Kofi had ranked higher than Wade in a website poll of beautiful people, and Wade had an awesome line where he said he didn't really care, but he was going to tear Kofi's ears off, so he moved up one spot. That was awesome. I've also noticed every time I try to type Tensai, I put a D at the end. That's not an autocorrect, that's me typing.
Tenside?
Tensed.
Oh, Ten said.
That's what it says. I fixed it at one point, and I found another one. Anyway.
Let's take a look at this WWE's list of the most beautiful people.
Okay. So, Kofi won
here. Elizabeth is number one.
Kofi won, and Wade handed him his title, smirked at him, and left. Wade Barrett is great.
All right. The 50 most beautiful people.
I'm actually surprised Vince was number one.
Sports entertainment. Number one is, in fact, Elizabeth. Number one is Elizabeth. Guess number two.
Sonny.
Randy Orton.
Okay.
Randy Orton outranks Trish, Eve, Stacy, Sunny, Tori Wilson, Sable, Maryse, Layla, Candice, Lita, Kelly, Maria, Kimberly Page, both Bella twins, who are ranked number 39 together, I guess.
Well, they're twins. They had to be tied.
The Cat, Molly, I could tell them apart.
Wait, the Cat?
Yeah. Stacy.
Oh, I thought you meant Ernest Miller.
He may be on here for all I know.
It makes more sense then. Go ahead. The Cat.
Molly Holly, Melina, and Caitlin.
So is Orton the only dude?
No. That's okay. That's all of the women that Randy Orton is more beautiful than, according to this list.
I see.
I call shenanigans. Let's look at some of the fun stuff on this list. CM Punk, according to this list, is more beautiful than Caitlin.
Well, I would disagree with that.
However, he is less beautiful than Melina, who is less beautiful than Matt Stryker.
What? Matt Stryker's a beautiful person?
Yeah. Matt Stryker is more beautiful than CM Punk, according to this list.
Well, that's possible. All right.
John Cena is slightly more beautiful than Kimberly Page.
I hope you realize, Brian, that they didn't just put all the women first.
Do you know who is more beautiful than the Bella Twins? Jack Briscoe.
That's odd.
What? In fact, Wade Barrett is number 31, outranking Maria at number 32. Yes. The Miz is number 21. He outranks Candice Michelle. I'm not one to judge male beauty, but is The Miz really more beautiful than, say, Chris Jericho?
We were talking about this once, back when Miz and Morrison were a team.
He is like a more Muppety version than Chris Jericho.
When Miz and Morrison were a team, and they came out on TV together, and I forget whose girlfriend was there, but she said, "I love Miz." And everyone in the room said, no, you mean Morrison. She said, "No, Miz." And we said, no, Morrison, the guy with the long hair. She says, "No, Miz." And we were all just blown away.
Yeah. So there you go, everybody. There are some wacky names on this list, just completely out of nowhere.
I would never have thought of Matt Stryker as beautiful. Frankly, I would never thought of CM Punk as beautiful either.
Stan Lane is on this list.
Well, sure. That makes sense.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
Do you remember...
Tell me, Vinny.
Heroes of Wrestling. They were trying to push him as still being a sex symbol.
That's right.
10 years past his prime.
That's right. I wonder who number 51 would have been.
Vince.
He's not on this list.
I am flabbergasted Vince McMahon is not on that list, honestly.
Triple H is, obviously. Although they did rank him number 44.
Wow.
43 people, including, believe it or not, Triple H is outranked in beauty by Eric Bischoff, according to this list. Never thought I'd see that. All right, let's move on.
So fans would get to vote tonight on who they wanted to see wrestle CM Punk, whether they wanted Kane or Daniel Bryan. Bryan was pointing out that he had a map showing that everyone in every state wanted to see him wrestle, and then everyone in every nation in the world wanted to see him wrestle, and then Kane won the vote. Bullshit. There's bullshit involved. So instead, Daniel Bryan got to wrestle Rey Mysterio right now. There's a point in this match where King said he had recently shared a cross-country flight with Rey Mysterio, and this is where he learned what Rey Mysterio meant.
Yes.
To which Michael Cole replied, "Mystery?"
Actually, Lawler still got it wrong. He said...
Mysterious King.
The Mysterious King!
Yes.
Like...
Spanish, not his strong suit.
Not the King of Mystery.
No.
But the Mysterious King.
Yes.
Which, by the way, they mean completely different things.
They do. So, that was amazing. Rey Mysterio has been in this company for a decade now. Not to mention, as, you know, I would expect if you did not know, if you never heard Spanish, never learned Spanish, just never knew it, and someone said biblioteca, you might not know that means bookstore. But Mysterio, you should be able to guess. You should guess that on the first try. So, they had an excellent pro wrestling match here, aside from all the bullshit about Spanish. Daniel Bryan, and besides this being a great match, Daniel Bryan entertained an arena full of WWE fans for 10 minutes doing nothing but hammerlocks. Because he is awesome. And not only is he awesome, but he is awesome in a way that makes him completely unique from anyone else in the company. And that's important. That being said, after 10 minutes of greatness, Ray made a very short comeback and pinned him with the torpedo splash, or the 619 and the torpedo splash. Match was a lot of fun. Ricardo and Alberto were walking backstage when they ran into Rosa. She thanked, well, Alberto for defending her. He vowed to be there whenever she needed and winked at her. Very smooth. Very smooth. Cena wrestled Dolph. My favorite part of this match, and this was a good match and people were totally into it, but my favorite part was Dolph caught him with a clothesline right to the nose and Cena lands and while laying on the mat, he turns to Dolph and says, "That hurt." It was not quite as funny as the time Elijah Burke drilled CM Punk and Punk said the same thing right into the camera, but still pretty funny. So, yeah, they had a match. It was very good. It was very long. And Cena had explained, I think it was on SmackDown, he has a torn meniscus and his lateral movement is limited, but he can still wrestle.
That's what he claimed, yeah.
So on this match here, he's starting his comeback. He goes, he does the "you can't see me" sign, and he goes to hit the ropes, and as he goes to move, his knee gives out because he's clumsy. He immediately rolls outside to talk to the trainer. Dolph tries to tear off a turnbuckle pad. AJ gets involved. Vicky gets involved. Dolph tried a briefcase shot, but Cena ducked it and hit the FU and won. It was fun. We had a new match. It seems like everything on every show is a repeat. Here's a match I have never seen before. I guess they said the same thing about Brian and Ray, but Sheamus versus Antonio Cesaro. And it was really, really good.
Antonio, I very much enjoyed this match.
Antonio is a freak. I mean, he looks like a big, strong guy, but he is so much stronger than he looks. He hit Sheamus with his deadlift suplex. There's another point where he basically did a torture rack into an overhead slam. He is a complete freak. They went back and forth. Antonio did a spot. He stole Sheamus' spot where you tie the guy in the ropes and hit a bunch of uppercuts. Or Sheamus' forearms. Antonio hit European uppercuts. So Sheamus hit his own spot back. And then Sheamus tried to come off the top rope with a shoulder block, and Antonio caught him in midair with a European uppercut. Finally, Sheamus hit the brogue kick, and Antonio rolled outside. Big Show came out. Apparently, Antonio was counted out here. So they protected him. They know he's awesome. They didn't give away Sheamus pinning him here.
Mm-hmm.
And Show came out. Show left. Sheamus grabbed a mic and dared him to return. He threatened to retire him. And Show came out very calm, and he pondered the chair in his hands very thoughtfully, and he destroyed it with his bare hands because he's big and scary. Damian Sandow versus Zack Ryder. Zack Ryder now has Ghostbusters-themed gear in 2012. I don't get it. Damian won with his neckbreaker. Lawler pointed out it's very annoying that he gives all his moves wacky names. That's correct. And during Damian's entrance, they showed a tweet from a celebrity I've never heard of saying she wanted to kiss someone. This is a quote, AJ style. Wrestling in joke, everyone. Heyman cut a promo backstage congratulating Punk for passing Randy Savage on the list of longest title reigns. Main event was Punk versus Kane, as determined by bullshit fan voting. Kane had a chokeslam. Heyman pulled Punk out of the ring, so Kane went for a tombstone, but when he did this, the Shield arrived and distracted him, and Punk grabbed him and hit a go-to-sleep for the win. I have seen CM Punk wrestle Kane several times, including live at least once, and it seems like every time he goes for that go-to-sleep, it always gets fucked up, because CM Punk is not that strong, and Kane is a great big man. This time, it looked perfect.
This was the first time they ever did it correctly.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
To my knowledge.
Yeah. So, Punk won. Then the Shield got in the ring. They teased getting Punk. Then they jumped Kane instead. They were beating out for a while. Bryan ran down. He got overwhelmed. Crowd chanted, "Feed me more," and Ryback came out. And they had a big old fight, and CM Punk returned, and eventually Ryback got speared by Roman Reigns, and they created a triple team powerbomb on him, and Punk just looked on, not sure what to think, and the show ended.
You know, the fan voting is rigged.
That's clear.
And I was shocked that Daniel Bryan revealed that stat today online. He tweeted that he'd done some investigation. He had, like, it's in the daily update. It's like #stats.com or something like that.
Yeah.
And he revealed, in fact, that it appeared more fans had voted for him, yet Kane won. I found that very interesting. Unless they're, like, gonna do away with... What apparently happened with the fan voting is that you'll be stunned. Vince hates Twitter. But... He was gone. He was overseas. And so Hunter got the Twitter machine voting back. For the week, at least. So my guess is that we're not going to see any of this fan voting, probably for a while. Could be wrong. But I thought it was very interesting that Daniel Bryan went public with the news. And in fact, this this poll is rigged.
It is. There are shenanigans going on.
Let's play these shenanigans.
Oh, I just woke up this minute.
You just woke up.
Yeah. Baby, getting tired of you. Yeah, and yeah, I don't know. I'm getting tired. Every week, I don't really care that much for it.
Groggy Granny is something else, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the Lance show today?
No, I haven't.
How about the Todd show?
No, didn't either one because...
How about the Dave show last night?
I haven't listened to any of those because...
How about the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday? Did you listen to that one? Have you listened to any show at all this week?
Well, I listened to that for... I don't know what happened. I've been so busy. I worked outside and then I went to the ball game. Come on every night.
My
so,
God, her grandson has finally jumped the shark with her.
Well, you know what? Next step. I'm sorry if I messed up the show, but...
As from the old... Remember the doo-wop song contest?
Actually, no.
You don't remember when we had a contest for the best doo-wop song?
Which is funny because I've seen that conversation with Granny. It seems like it was about like a month ago or less.
Oh, God, no. That's, well, probably because it's every week.
That's possible.
Let's try one more. So maybe this will, you know, jar your memory. Doo-wop.
Okay, yeah.
Doo-wop.
Brent Kremen.
Looking for a younger lady. Doo-wop.
They're under the age of 42. Brent Kremen. Are the stars
out tonight? So they're kicking you out of the couple scene?
Yes. Brent Kremen. I don't know
if it's cloudy or if you're not married by 40, you're done for.
Missy Hyatt. Hi, Missy Hyatt.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be over once you're a dirty old man.
Brent Kremen. Yes, well, just send her on over.
Doo-wop. But I
can't see a thing. We're looking at hopefully at least 21. Missy Hyatt. Hi, Missy Hyatt.
Yeah, that was just
an example.
It's never not funny. Oh, Brent.
The flamingos. I only have eyes for you.
Hi, Missy Hyatt.
Sorry, Brent.
Just one more.
I cut him off. That is a great song. The original, I mean. That piece of comedy we just heard was funny as well. But I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos is a tremendous song. I actually looked it up. According to Wikipedia, it was written in 1934.
Oh my God.
Yeah, they did their version 25 years later.
All right, let's get into NXT.
We watched NXT.
Ah, these commercials. Did I mention I hate commercials?
You did say that. It's funny. You get angry about commercials the way I get angry about most wrestling shows. I have better things to do. Commercials are often better than the show.
Really?
Well, not often. Sometimes.
You sit through all of Raw and watch every commercial and report back.
No.
That's what I thought.
I flat out refuse. Alicia Fox wrestled Paige. I guess a quick review of the show. They just do a bunch of matches.
Yeah.
There was one very short promo to open the show. There was one very short angle in the middle of the show. And I think that's it. And that's not necessarily a good thing. There is a reason, even UFC, there's a reason they do promos after fights and spend a long time on entrances talking. When you just have two people in their underwear pretending to fight, it gets old quickly. Especially when most of these guys are not that good at it. Alicia Fox wrestled Paige.
Mm.
Paige.
Yikes.
Is,
Yikes.
Well, this is not good. Paige is English and pale. She has a finishing move called the Paige Turner.
Yeah.
Which at first I thought was a ridiculously awful name for a move. Then watched her do it. It's kind of like a lightning spiral. So her name is Paige, and she turns the person over. So really, it completely makes sense.
It's a Paige Turner.
It's the Paige Turner. All right, I'm cool with that. So, yeah, they had a not good Divas match. It was not really any worse than what you would see on Raw. It felt longer, but it was what it was. We had Big E Langston versus Camacho. Big E Langston.
Big E Langston's. There's a lot of stuff there. He's a very charismatic man.
What's the word? An unpolished diamond?
He's a diamond in the rough.
It's not exactly. He has a lot of work to do, but there is much potential here.
Tons of potential. He's a big, giant dude.
He's a 500-pound bench presser whose gimmick, and I'm not making this up, his gimmick is that he lifts weights.
Yeah. He comes out with chalk on his hands.
Yes, and then
like he's about to do a lift.
And his entrance video, I should also say, by the way, they obviously put some money into this, but the NXT stage for a show of this size, of this caliber, it looks really cool. And it's all in HD. It's a good-looking television show.
Yes.
So, he comes out with chalk in his hands, and he is a gigantic man. He's not terribly tall. He's 6 feet or 6'2 or something, but he looks like a guy who bench presses 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Easily. And he's very intense.
Physique like Ryback, little thicker, powerlifter thicker.
Yeah, he looks bigger than Ryback.
Yeah.
He looks like a lean, shorter Mark Henry.
Yeah.
He's a wall of muscle. He is very intense. He has a lot of charisma.
Tons of charisma.
Mm-hmm.
He oozes charisma, this guy.
You cannot take your eyes off the screen. His finisher sucks. Say that. He has the worst finisher I've ever seen. This is his finisher, everyone. He lifts the guy up for a power slam like Davey Boy Smith, and then he falls down with the guy on top of him.
It's more that he drops the guy on his side next to him.
No. Vinny, maybe that's the idea.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Honest to God, the FU is it's just as dumb. I was going to say far dumber, but no.
When Big E Langston does this move, it appears that a person lands on him. Like he is cushioning the blow.
I'm telling you, he's pulling the guy off to the side a little bit, Vinny. I want Big E Langston to do his finisher on you, on cement. And we'll see what you think about it.
Well, no shit, falling on cement hurts.
Fight grass.
All right.
Someday I'm going to make this possible. I don't know how.
So apparently, they said Vicky Guerrero had put a $5,000 bounty on Big E Langston. They didn't really say why.
Well, we'd know if we actually watched the show, so I can't hold that against them. Although they should have made it a little clearer.
There were announcers there.
Yeah.
Apparently,
the announcer's job is not to tell us anything, Vinny, because we're not children. That's the argument on the board. Yeah.
Assume everyone watches every segment of every show and takes notes.
I forget what I was ranting about, but somebody is talking about how you'd have to be a fool to not know this, and the announcers don't need to tell you this because you're not children. And it's like, there are three announcers now! You just want them all to just sit there? You got three guys who got to talk for 3 hours! Somebody can explain everything like we're children! What was it?
I believe it was when you were confused as to why Big Show would be upset that he lost.
Why was Big Show mad? And nobody even understood. I think some people did. But I asked on the board, so why was the Big Show mad? And everybody came up with their own explanation as to why Big Show was mad. And the point was, those examples that everybody on the board gave, they were all great.
Yes.
So the announcers should have come up with one of those stories and explained it to the viewing audience. Why this guy is mad that he retained his title on a disqualification as a heel. I don't care why. You can all come up with great ideas. But you have three announcers there with literally nothing to do except explain stuff. So have one of them take 10 seconds out of his life and explain why he feels the Big Show is so upset about this.
So Big E Langston won here, and he's also doing King Kong Bundy's five-count gimmick. So he also pinned him with five counts twice after the match.
The fans just chant, five, five, five.
He just comes out and holds his hand up over his head, and they all chant five.
They go nuts over the number five.
Yes. It's a built-in gimmick. It's awesome. So Trent Beretta was supposed to be in the main event of this show. They went to the back for what was supposed to be a promo.
Trent Beretta.
What's that?
Trent Beretta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Main event.
Well, it's NXT.
I know. I just couldn't believe it.
I don't know why.
I forgot he was still employed.
Well, there is that. Chris Cage got cut, didn't he? They were a team.
Chris Cage is an elementary school teacher now with short hair.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they went to the back. It was supposed to be a promo, but he was on the ground holding his ribs. And as the camera cut back, there was a man with a beard. I believe the first man with a beard on the show. I guess Biggie Langston has one.
Wouldn't be the last.
But there's an epidemic of overgrown, scraggly beards in NXT. This is the first one.
Not just NXT, all of wrestling.
Daniel Bryan has one. Who else?
Daniel Bryan, mm-hmm. Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
Cassius Ohno.
Also on the show.
Brody Lee on this show.
Also on the show.
Looking exactly like Necro Butcher.
The scraggliest one, yeah.
Yeah. List goes on and on.
Does Kimbo Slice still have one?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All right. I don't know.
That's his trademark, Vinny.
I thought his trademark was shaving half of his chest hair.
That's the other trademark.
All right.
That's his copyright.
Mm.
I don't know.
So anyway, the camera pulled back, and there was a guy with a beard laughing, and they told us the announcers did a good job cluing us in. This man was named Leo Kruger. That's all that happened here. We had Nick Rogers versus Bronson.
Bronson, another bearded man.
Bronson, especially after watching Big E Langston, Bronson looks like a man who...
By the way, that's my new favorite name in all of wrestling.
Bronson?
Bronson. He doesn't have a last name or a first name.
He's just Bronson.
He's just Bronson.
Bronson.
And he looks like a Bronson.
Looks like a guy who was supposed to be wrestling in like the Maritimes in the late 70s and jumped off on the wrong... He was accidentally sent through time.
He looks like a guy that was wrestling in the Maritimes in the 70s and then was still wrestling in the same Maritimes in like the late 90s.
Yeah. He's tall and he's like barrel-chested, but he has never done a bicep curl in his life. Okay, carrying a few extra pounds. He is bald. He has a scraggly beard. He looks exactly like Joss LeDuc or Ivan Koloff.
Or Joe LeDuc.
Or Joe LeDuc. Or who was the other guy? It was like three of them in one match that one time. Bald bearded guy. Anyway, Nick Rogers, they were talking about, he's from Vancouver, Canada, and his mother was a long jumper and his dad was a CFL player. And Bronson's from Las Vegas, and he is supposedly does an MMA gimmick. And actually, it's funny because you look at this guy and you think visually, I mean, if the Briscoes didn't make it because they were not aesthetically pleasing, this guy has no shot of ever being on the roster. Then he starts to wrestle. His wrestling is awesome. Took the guy apart. I mean, it was all offense, but all his offense looks great. He kneed the guy, he punched the guy, he stomped the guy, he did the knee breaker gimmick, and finally hit him with a big, violent STO and put him in a figure four heel hook and tapped him out. This is a great squash match.
Yeah, I like Bronson.
Bronson was fun. Next match had Mike Dalton, graduate of the Storm Wrestling Academy.
Who everyone chanted, let's go Ziggler for, because he looks
he has
like him.
Bleach blonde hair, yes.
Looks exactly like Dolph Ziggler, just with longer hair.
And worse gear. It's got this kind of black and bronze tiger-striped thing.
This was the gear you were concerned about in this particular match?
Well, okay, he had better gear than Brody Lee.
Brody Lee is a cross between Bruiser Brody and Necro Butcher at this point.
That's exactly right.
Exactly.
He has, he's getting a bald spot. He has
actually works for the gimmick.
It does. This is not a man who would care about things like grooming. He has not touched a razor blade to his face in perhaps 20 years. Enormous beard, long greasy black hair, dirty wife beater, dirty jeans. Beating the fuck out of this guy, frankly. Bray Wyatt came out first. He's doing the wacky cult leader gimmick. At one point, he declared himself the Eater of Worlds.
At one point, he was. He's trimmed down a lot.
Yeah, he stopped eating worlds. He's eating moons, perhaps, now. But he's got the floral print shirt on, and what do you call that? The kind of hat he had. He had a hat. And he sits in a rocking chair, and he watches his man wrestle. And his man was Brody Lee, whose new name is Luke Harper. And Luke beat the fuck out of this guy and pinned him with a move. I don't remember anymore.
The black hole slam.
That's right. He pinned him with the sidewalk slam, is what JR called it. It was a complete squash. It was fun. Seth Rollins was about to be interviewed.
Oh, God. This segment. Whenever people demand I watch NXT, I just want to make them watch this segment on a loop into eternity.
Seth Rollins was about to be interviewed when Jinder Mahal hit him with what has to be the single least effective sneak attack I've ever seen.
I like Jinder Mahal in 3MB because the idea of him standing there and playing air guitar and dancing, especially when I interviewed Brady Malibu from World of Hurt, and he mentioned that he used to go to the clubs with Jinder Mahal, and Jinder Mahal refused to ever dance. And now here he is dancing on national television as part of 3MB. But, my God, is this guy a bad pro wrestler. He attacked, I think, I don't know what happened here. All I know is I blinked, and he fell down.
Maybe that's what happened.
I think that Tyler tried, like, some sort of takedown, but he barely touched the guy, and the guy fell down. Jinder Mahal looked like the most unathletic human being on the face of the planet in this segment. And actually, he's usually a lot better than this, so I don't know. He was
I
so bad
confirm.
Here. This pull-apart brawl was one of... This is a great example of standards lowering. If you had put this on television 20 years ago, this would have gone down in history as the worst brawl ever in the history of this business. The absolute worst pull-apart brawl of all time ever. But now, since we've seen so many bad pull-aparts with amateurs in the last 10, 15 years, now it's just another bad pull-apart. But, oh my God, this was bad.
I don't know if it's because Jinder fell down. I can confirm that he hit Seth one time, and Seth turned around and hit him back, and that was it. And then they were rolling around on the ground in a completely unconvincing manner. So immediately after this, they show the Raw rebound with Seth Rollins. A dash to the heel, taking Ryback apart. That was funny, but what can you do? Cassius Ohno hit the ring. He was supposed to wrestle Trent Beretta, but Beretta was taken out earlier. So out came Dusty Rhodes, the commissioner, and said he had a replacement.
I love Dusty, but this was his worst promo of all time as well.
It was forgettable. I've forgotten it.
Yeah. Exactly.
He spoke for a minute.
Imagine forgetting a Dusty Rhodes promo.
Yeah. The point is, it was Cassius Ohno versus Richie Steamboat. And they said these men have been wrestling a lot lately. And they wrestled for days. Oh, Cassius Ohno, add him to the Beard Club.
Yeah, I did. I talked about that earlier.
All right. Cassius Ohno, Luke Harper, Branson.
He was actually the one that got me thinking about
Leo
beards.
Kruger.
The very first time I saw him on this show today, he just had this grotesquely overgrown beard. And I was just like, I all of a sudden was thinking back to like, you know, like in the late 70s, early 80s, all those mustaches were in.
Yeah.
Everybody had a mustache. Uh-huh. I think this is like, in 15 years, we're going to look back at all these guys with beards, and they're going to look back and hang their heads in shame. What was I doing with that scraggly beard?
Like a mullet?
Yeah, kind of.
There was a point in time when everyone had a mullet.
Yeah.
The mullets were cool.
I think we're in a scraggly beard phase, which I refuse.
I would much rather have a mullet.
Maybe I'm old.
And I have a beard, by the way.
Actually, you are growing quite a beard.
It needs some trimming. But it's nothing like Brody Lee. Nothing like Cassius Ohno.
Yeah. Just, they got some beards going on. Everyone cut your beard off. I know what people are saying. Brian, if everyone cuts their beard off, everyone's going to look the same.
They look the same now.
Exactly. They look the same now. They all got scraggly beards. We have one scraggly beard in WWE. It's Daniel Bryan, and he uses it for his gimmick of the goat face. We don't need any more scraggly beards. You know what he should do? Actually, Cassius Ohno should do this. He should take his beard and cut it right down the middle, and then braid each side. Then now we're
braid
talking.
Braid the sideburns?
No, the beard. Take your beard. Imagine your beard went down to your chest, Vinny. Now take the scissors and cut it right down the middle, right up to your chin.
I see.
And then braid each side. You know?
Uh-huh.
Then at least you're unique with your scraggly beard.
That's true.
Everyone needs to do something unique. You got to stand out. And if everybody has a scraggly beard, they're not special anymore. Y'all just look like, I don't know what.
The world's most homeless wrestling company.
Yeah. And it's hot down there in Florida.
That's a good point.
This summer, when it was so ungodly hot, and we trained upstairs at the jiu-jitsu school, and there was like, there's no real air conditioning. We just have a little air conditioning unit that we that's up by the window. And it's like 90 degrees in there, grappling every day. I buzzed my head, have never looked back. But these guys down there in South Florida with these long beards and long hair, it's craziness. It's crazy, I tell you. Anyway, then a match.
So Richie Steamboat and Cassius Ohno wrestled a long time. I don't, you know, I'm over here every week and I've been watching a lot of wrestling, and I watched much less wrestling today than I usually do because I didn't have a pay-per-view to watch. But during this match, I just couldn't take it anymore. I was starting to nod off. I actually had to get up and make myself a cup of coffee. I feel much better now. So, finally, Cassius is going for his elbow, and Richie ducks it and hit the sling blade, which is a clothesline kind of thing, and he won. And that was it, and they promised Team Hell No would be on next week, and the show ended. This felt very much like a wrestling school TV show.
Cassius Ohno needs to be called up pretty soon.
He's really good in the ring. He cuts really good promos. He does need to be on Team Viggity.
They got to call up. Actually, he's, I don't know if he's on Team Viggity.
I mean, they talked about how he's lost a ton of weight. And I know I'm a fat guy too here, and this is the kettle calling the pot black or whatever, but I'm not on national TV.
No, he's not either.
He's not either. And if he wants to be.
Problem, Vinny, is that, for some people, they just have a certain body type.
Okay.
You should know that of all people.
I can accept that.
And it's really, when you have that type of body, it's really hard to, not everybody can have a six pack, unfortunately.
All right.
I mean, he could, but he'd probably be about 110 pounds.
Okay. Then he needs to put a shirt on.
Well, that's an option, I guess.
Or something. Or a singlet, at least. His upper torso looks fine. He just has a flabby midsection. And love handles.
Him and Husky Harris need to be brought up. And Biggie Langston someday I think is going to be a big star.
I think he's going to be the next guy who gets called up way too early. I mean, I was watching him thinking, there's no way at the very latest he'll be on Raw or SmackDown after WrestleMania. At the very latest.
I think he's got enough charisma and presence that he'll get away with it if they call him up too early. A guy that they call up too early that doesn't have that is in trouble.
That's true.
But I think he'll be good. So there you go. Speaking of guys who should be called up to WWE, let's play this song.
It got to that point, the match, when we started giving them a real thorough ass whooping. In Philly, ROH's homecoming. From that night. I knew the shit was getting ready to go down. Don't blame it on Mike Quackenbush. Don't blame it on 300,000 tickets. Don't blame it on great big ass grasshopper. Fine honey with a fat ass. Don't blame it on tag team champions, them boys. Don't blame it on Jigsaw and Hollowick. Don't blame it on Cockburn Doombug. Black Pelican looking some bitch shaking this big ass stick.
Reach for the sky, boy.
I love the Briscoes.
God damn, the Briscoes are awesome.
I haven't seen any good Briscoe promos of late. Have I just been missing them?
I haven't either.
Hmm.
The only thing I saw, and this is not a promo, the Usos sent out a tweet directly to, well, addressing them, and the world saw it, but it said, basically said, you guys are great, and we want to work with you sometime.
Great!
I think that would be a hell of a match!
I think that would be a great match.
Yeah.
Briscoes go hunting for the Young Bucks 1 year ago.
This week on Ring of Honor.
That's not what I'm looking for. It could be. Oh, wow. There is one. There's a new one that was just posted 8 hours ago, in fact.
Well, there you go.
All right, let's finish the show with this. It is Mark Briscoe's holiday gift solution.
Excellent.
All I know is that the photo here, before I hit the video, is Mark Briscoe in a holiday sweater with a collar. Come here, look at this picture.
I got you. Hang on.
It's absolutely amazing.
And a beard.
And a beard. Yeah. Get ready. All right, here we go.
Commence.
Mark Briscoe's holiday gift solution.
Aaron, I was able to take you.
These discount stupid advertisements.
I'm kind of over that move, so are we. What?
This is not product placement here, everybody. This is an advertisement.
Double check.
Matthews.
Which I hate.
Get a discount double check today.
Here we go.
Good afternoon, folks. Or should I say good evening? I know what you're thinking. That young gentleman looks like a white Bill Cosby. Bearded, of course. And if you were to say that, you would be absolutely correct. But we're not here today to talk about Bill Cosby, unfortunately. It's about that time of year again, ain't it? You hear them jingle bells? I do anyway. It's Christmas time. And what you gonna get your beloved family and friends? What you gonna get your loved ones? Iron? Machete?
Significantly better with video.
Both great choices. But let me suggest to you that you get your friends and your family, one of them anyway, a most unique, one-of-a-kind gift that you only gonna find in this offer we got for you right here.
He's taking his teeth out.
This beautiful pair of teeth. Ladies and gentlemen, these can be yours on eBay. Starting bidding at $99 break today. Type in Mark Briscoe's teeth.
Oh, no.
And they can be yours. They come with a candy bar of your choosing, king size, of course, and a random order. Excuse me.
The price seems to have gone down.
Is that right? Are you sure? You sure we can do that? Thank you. That's excellent. Yeah, bye-bye. The starting bid, folks, has been dropped from $99 to $49.95. It's been cut in half. Get on eBay. Place your bid. You got 5 days. Count them, 5 days. Mark Briscoe tape, go! Quit looking at me, go!
I'm going!
12 bids. Up to $81.25.
That's it?
Returns not accepted.
Vinny, bid.
No.
Oh, come on.
I don't want Mark Briscoe's teeth.
Why?
Because they were in his mouth.
Someday, Vinny, those things are going to be worth a lot of money. Maybe.
This is your investment strategy?
One of them. Hmm. All right, everybody, I got to diversify. We're going to wrap it up
fair
here
enough,
today, everyone.
Fair enough.
Wrap it up.
Your teeth portfolio is looking a little slim.
It is. It is. And I'm only getting two, so they better be valuable someday. We're going to wrap it up for today, everybody. I want to thank y'all for listening. Got a lot of shows coming up in the next couple of days.
Picture of Mark Briscoe on this eBay thing.
This is awesome. He looks like Lincoln.
I would say he looks like Bigfoot.
Kind of does look like Squatch. By the way, before we go, what did you think of Finding Bigfoot? You missed the best part of the show.
All right.
So they go to this field, and there's some tracks. So the tracks are spaced 9 feet apart or something like that, or 9 foot stride, so I guess 4.5 feet apart or whatever. And they're convinced it's Squatch because they're so far apart. So Renee, the skeptic, is like, hold on a second. I think she did a 35-inch inseam. She's really tall.
Yes.
She goes, I bet I could recreate this gate. So she does her little warm-up stretch, and then, bam, down she goes. And she runs, and she hits every footstep perfectly. So you know what they yell?
No.
You're running. Mm. Anybody can do it running, but can you do it walking? And we knew Bigfoot was walking. How? How do we know he wasn't running?
Brian, that's not the worst example of that kind of thing on this show.
I know, but I was just baffled because they kept going, no, you're running. No, you're hopping. You have to be walking. And I was like, so it couldn't be a running hoaxer? That is like completely out of the question. It had to be somebody walking.
Bigfoot apparently does not run.
Apparently.
Bigfoot takes his time.
That one made me flip my lid.
I missed that part. You're right. As noted last time we talked about this show, to a very large degree, if you've seen one episode, you have seen them all.
That's true.
They will travel around the country. They will talk to people who have seen Bigfoot. They will poke around the woods at night. They will not find anything, and this will somehow convince them Bigfoot is real and lives here.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Oklahoma, not traditional Bigfoot sighting territory. It is, as they noted, flat. They had the town hall meeting where everyone talks about all the Bigfoots they've seen, and they charted them on a map, and they reached a very fascinating, shocking conclusion. Most of the sightings were around the river.
Yeah, doesn't that indicate that perhaps they're real, Vinny?
It turns out that Bigfoot drinks water.
That's right. So that's evidence now, in their favor.
Now, they went to commercial at one point, and this is what sent me flying off the handle. As they go to commercial, they put up a little trivia question that you have to come back to after the break to ensure you don't turn channels during the commercial. To see the answer, you have to stay tuned. It was a true or false question.
True or false?
True or false, Bigfoots can swim.
Yeah. True or false, Vinny?
So, we don't know. The whole point of the show is that the creature may not even exist. Yet somehow it is proven true or proven false of their water maneuverability.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out it's true.
It's true. They swim. A lot of legends about swimming big feet. Big foots, I'm sorry. Big foots.
I almost said big feet several times as well.
It's big foots. That's what they say. Big foots.
So, yeah. I mean, it's
they didn't find Bigfoot, by the way.
No, the show could be called Failing to Find Bigfoot.
They did find some hair.
They found what they thought was hair. I guess it turned out to be hair. They established it was hair and it was not human hair. But yes, they went to a lab and had this thing studied.
Well, they didn't find out for sure it was not human hair. They just suspected it was not.
Yeah, they determined it.
Inconclusive.
The ends were broken and had not been cut. They
That's
were
right.
all. You should have seen the ecstasy on these people's faces when they heard this news.
Yeah.
Because only humans get haircuts, so if it's broken, it must be Bigfoot.
You also missed the best part where they're meeting with the guy to drop off the hair sample, and Matt Moneymaker is explaining what they have, and all of a sudden you hear, and Bobo had knocked over a beaker.
I did miss that.
Had to be staged, but I didn't care. It was funny.
Oh, God.
Finding Bigfoot, everybody. Every Sunday night on Animal Planet. Check it out. My favorite show. My only show that I watch outside of wrestling. All right, as noted, that is it from here. Carl Stern's on the show on Wednesday, probably talking some Finding Bigfoot, perhaps, and Wrestling Observer Radio. Got a lot of stuff coming up, more stuff than you can shake a stick at. So check it out, everybody, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.